Visual 2, Pruning. A client who works in the medical field called me in to help organize her offices. One of the challenges was that there was simply too much stuff. Every shelf, cabinet, and surface was just overflowing with specialized equipment that they used to lend to their patients. With so much equipment around, it was hard to keep track of everything, let alone lend it out effectively to the patients who could use the various devices and tools. This client and I worked together to weed through the equipment, and as much of it was outdated, we were able to recycle many boxes worth of old technology. And the rest of what was no longer needed, we were able to donate to patients in need. This left her with room to spare in her storage, and with patients supplied with tools that they could use to lead fulfilling lives every day. Virtually every client I work with has some pruning or editing that needs to happen in their space. Spending time up front going through your belongings and making sure you keep only what you want, need, or use can help make the rest of the organizing process much easier. In this module, we're going to focus on pruning. We'll look at strategies for how to effectively weed and edit through what you have, whether it's actual physical items, paper, or files on your computer. Let's talk first about why you might have so much stuff. Take a moment and think about how our culture works. We're extremely acquisitive. We're focused on getting more things, and we have no mechanism built into how we operate for us to know when we have enough stuff, let alone when it's time to let go of the things we already have. Usually by the time that people are starting to think about, wow, I've got too much stuff, they might be in a state of complete overwhelm or might be bombarded by things in their space. So don't feel too bad if you have more things than you can actually use. Many people do. In fact, most of the clients I work with encounter this very same problem. And I like to blame it on our culture. It's just how we work. Unfortunately, we have no mechanism for letting us know that there's enough stuff, and so we accumulate way more than what we need. So if that's the case for you, don't feel bad about it. Know that you're not alone in that. One of the challenges that I often come across when working with clients and helping them weed through their things is the, but I'll need it someday, syndrome. In truth, every single thing that we have, whether it's something that was purchased a long time ago or something that we just bought today, could be useful to someone someday under the right circumstances. The question to ask yourself is not might it be useful someday, but is it useful today or in the foreseeable future to me and the life and the work that I envision myself doing? If you can't see yourself realistically using it or needing it in the foreseeable future, chances are it's something that you can let go of. Oftentimes what happens when I work with clients is we get rid of things, and lo and behold, there is something that they got rid of that they could still use or need. That happens to everyone. We're not looking to get rid of every possible thing that you could use or need, but only the things that you aren't likely to need in the near future. So expect that one of the things that you're going to get rid of, you'll probably need, and be okay with that, and move on. To help you get rid of things that you no longer want, need, or use, it's helpful to have a list of questions to ask yourself as you're going through your things. Otherwise, you might get stuck while you're in the middle of the organizing process, and instead of continuing to let go of things, you might simply stop. So it's helpful to have a list of questions, as I mentioned. Some of the questions to ask yourself are, when was the last time that I actually used this thing? Can I even remember using it in the first place? If you can't remember when you last used something, and you can't think of when you might need it next, it's probably something that you can let go of. Try this. Can you identify a specific time, and I mean really specific, time or circumstance, within the next 6 months when you might actually need something? If you can't think of a specific instance, not, oh, I might need this, but I'll definitely need this when I go to that meeting with the client next month, then it's probably something you can get rid of. Of course, again, everything might be useful someday. We're looking for specific somedays in this case. Is the thing that you're looking at in need of repair? Is it broken? Can it be fixed? And if so, is it worth fixing? That means, if you were to pay to get it fixed, would it cost more in terms of your time and your money than it would be to simply replace it? Is it worth it? If it's not, look at donating it or recycling it. Is the thing you're looking at outmoded or out of date? Or is it simply not up with the times in terms of technology? Is it relevant to you? If you can't answer affirmatively to any of these things, then it's time to let go of that item. Now here's a good one. Do I actually have space to keep this thing? If you've run out of storage space and you're waffling about whether to keep something, it's time to really take a cold, hard eye at your belongings and look at whether you actually have the space to store your stuff. If you can't think of a specific home for where this thing should go, then it's something that you might want to consider letting go of. Another good question. What's the absolute worst thing that could happen if you were to get rid of this item? Would the world cave in? Probably not. Would you be inconvenienced? Maybe. Look at the level of inconvenience that it might cost you. If it's something like a supply, for instance, if you were to get rid of it, would it be easy enough for you to get it again? Is it a document that's simply irreplaceable? If that's the case, you might want to hold on to it. But think about worst-case scenario if you were to get rid of something. That might help make the decision a little bit easier. Another question to ask yourself. Did you ask for this thing in the first place? This often happens with gifts or things that people have brought into your workspace that you didn't necessarily ask for. If this is something that you didn't want or purchase yourself, don't feel too bad about letting it go. Chances are the person who is giving it to you will never know that you've let go of it, and in the letting go of it, you might pass it along to someone else who might make better use of it. Another question to ask yourself, does this thing that you're looking at fit in with how you envision your space, your work, and your life right now, today? If it doesn't fit, whether it's aesthetically, functionally, in terms of the amount of space it takes up, or some other factor, consider letting it go. And this is a distillation of all the questions. Do I need this item? Do I use it? And do I love it or even like it? If you can't stand it, if you hate it, you don't need it, and you don't want it, why is it there in the first place? So ask yourself these questions as you're going through your belongings. Guaranteed they'll help you make decisions on the things that are in front of you. Now that you have these questions in hand, it's time to do what I like to call the master edit. And essentially, this is where you go through everything that's in your space and take a cold, hard eye to everything that's there and make sure that every single thing still makes sense for you. This is something that most people don't take the time to do, but I think that it's absolutely essential to do this as you're beginning the organizing process. Why? Because you want to make sure that everything in your space, whether it's a physical item or information or things that are on your schedule, still makes sense for you. And unless you take the time to look at what's there, you'll never know whether everything makes sense. So take some time, and on your action plan, you might want to note that one of the first things that you might think about doing is a master edit of every space. Now, you don't have to do this all at once. You can break it down into chunks. You might do a master edit starting with one shelf on a bookshelf or one drawer in your desk drawer. We're not necessarily looking at organizing the items at this point. Instead, we're just looking to make sure that everything you keep is something that you actually want or need or use. Once you've done that, then we can move on to the next steps, which are actually organizing the space itself. As you're going through things and you're doing your pruning and your editing, one of the things that might be helpful to think about as well is what I call the master container. Now, the master container is what holds all of your stuff. One of your master containers is your office. Your office holds everything that's there. Another master container could be your file cabinet, or your shelving unit, or a chest of drawers that's in your office. So these larger containers, these larger holders, can help define the amount of things that you're allowed to keep in your space. If what you're storing or considering storing can't fit in your master container or one of your larger containers, then it probably doesn't belong. So that can be one of the guidelines that you're looking at as you're considering going through your things and what to keep and what to not, is what are the master containers in my space, and do the things that I'm considering keeping or letting go of fit within the master container? I'm looking around my space right now. One of my master containers is a shelving unit. If I have more books than could fit on the shelving unit, then I know I need to weed through the books until there's enough space left that they can all fit. Another master container is a drawer unit. If I have more supplies than can fit in the drawer, then I need to weed through some of the supplies until they all fit within that container. So that's one of the tools that you can use, in addition to your decision tree, to help you decide what to keep and what to let go of. As you're going through your belongings and deciding what to keep and what to let go of, consider the environment as you are going to discard your items. There are many reasons why you want to do this besides just feeling good. Many of the things that you're going to be discarding can likely be used by someone else. So start making some piles of things or bags of things to take away from your space. One of them might be things that are perfectly usable by someone else, just not necessarily by you. You might take these things to your local Goodwill or your favorite local charity or library or school. Places like these are always happy to accept things like office supplies or books or other office-related tools like old computers. For instance, if you're going to be getting rid of some old computer equipment, you might want to consider donating that to your local technical college or even to Goodwill. These places often dismantle computers and help use them in job training for new people. In your workbook, there's a list of resources that you can use when you're donating your items. Another helpful thing to do when you're donating is to have a donation party with some of your friends or colleagues or coworkers. Each of you could bring the things that you no longer want, need, or use, and then you can swap with each other because they may have something that you'd like and you might have something that they'd like or be able to use in their space. And if something is truly just junk and no one could want it or use it, think about how you can most easily recycle it. Most cities or towns now have electronics recycling, where you can take things like broken computers, or cables, or cords, or old pieces of equipment that are no longer usable. You can also find eco-friendly haulers if you have lots of things that you're getting rid of, and you simply don't want to see them go into the landfill. Regardless of how you choose to get rid of your things, always look for ways that you can recycle or reuse them, or give them to someone else who can recycle or use them for you. We don't want to add things to the landfill simply because we're done with them. Instead, look for responsible ways that we can let go of your things. You'll feel better about it, you may even get a tax deduction in the process, and someone else could actually use your items. Something that usually surprises people when I'm working with them to help them begin the pruning and editing process of their organizing work is how emotionally tiring the organizing process can be. As you're going through your belongings, you might find that your emotions might run pretty high. As you're going through a project, for instance, you might find pieces of it that are unfinished, or a client piece of work that you just didn't complete, or an idea or an opportunity that you wanted to follow up on and that you never got around to. You may find checks that are uncashed, or bills that have been unpaid and may now incur late fees. Things get buried when we're disorganized, and as we begin the pruning process, we're often uncovering things, kind of like an archaeological dig. Some of those things will bring happy feelings. Look at this great piece of work that I did for a client. Look at this note from a client that says what a great job I did for them. And other things may have less good feelings, let's say. Again, unfinished projects, bills that are unpaid, etc. In virtually every time I've worked with a client, we come across things that trigger emotions for people. And that's a natural byproduct of the organizing process. So as you're going through your things and you're starting to prune them and weed through them and take out the things that you no longer want, need, or use, expect that you'll have some sort of emotional reaction at some point during the process. Even the most hard business types I've worked with come across something in their space that triggers some feeling for them. So know that it's going to come. Also, be prepared for it by having some sort of support, whether it's a friend or a colleague, a professional organizer, or maybe even just an organizing buddy that you can talk to if and when such a thing happens. Because what you don't want to have happen is this. You're going through your stuff. You come across something that triggers some sort of emotional reaction, and you stop the organizing process at that point. Don't let that stymie the progress that you're going to make. Instead, have a strategy for how you're going to deal with it when it comes up. Know that it will come up, and have a strategy for dealing with it when it does. let's talk for a minute about one of the specific types of things that I'll be asking you to weed through as you're entering your pruning process. Let's talk about paper. Everyone's got it. Most of us have too much of it, but all of us need to do something with it. At this point, I'm not asking you to organize your paper. I'm asking you simply to go through it and look for what you actually need. Most people keep way more paper than they could ever possibly need or use. One of the reasons why is because it's confusing and hard to know which pieces of paper you're supposed to keep and which ones are okay to let go of. So what I find is that most people err on the side of caution, and instead of getting rid of things, they keep mostly everything. There are a few folks out there who, rather than keep everything, get rid of everything instead, and that's not really the right thing to do either. What you want to do is make sure that you're keeping the things that you actually need, and the way to do that is by having a set of retention guidelines. Most retention guidelines are dictated by the IRS, and the IRS actually has a handy form on their website which lists some suggested retention guidelines for common types of documents that can be found in virtually any home or business. I've included a link to that document in your workbook. Now, that is just, as it says, a guideline. This isn't the final word on what you should and should not keep. Instead, what I suggest doing is asking your tax preparer or your CPA what the specific retention guidelines for your own individual business and life situation are. The reason why you want to ask these folks how much you should keep and when you should get rid of things is because they're, hopefully, intimately familiar with your financial and your tax situation. And since many records are connected to your taxes, it's important to go to the source for the person that's preparing those tax or financial information pieces so that they can give you the correct answer on what to keep and for how long. You'll hear a variety of guidelines out there. Some tax preparers say keep 3 years worth of supporting documents for your taxes, while others will tell you to keep 10. This variation is why it's so important that you consult with the person who's preparing your taxes, not the person who prepares your parents' taxes or your friends' taxes or your sister's or your brother's or your coworkers. Your taxes, because only they completely understand your tax and financial situation. Now, once you've received a set of retention guidelines from your tax preparer or your CPA or your accountant, then you can take that retention schedule back to your own file cabinet or box of papers or stack of papers that might be on your desk and start weeding through what's there. In addition to the types of documents that you'll need to keep for your taxes and your financial records, there's a whole host of other types of documents that you might want to hold on to or let go of, depending on the case, for your own personal and or business record keeping, just kind of as an FYI, so that you can have them for your own records and knowledge and reference. These are what I call your archives, and we'll talk more in detail about these when we get into the paper management section of this program. But for now, look through your documents and look and see what you've actually been using or accessing. If you haven't seen a piece of paper in years and it's starting to yellow, that might be a good sign that it's time to let go of it. Likewise might also be true if you're looking at a document and the information contained in it can be easily found online or can be recalled from a colleague or a coworker. These are signs that you can actually get the document again really easily, and it may not be worth even having it in your paperwork or in your files. Also, if a document is outdated, the information contained in it is no longer relevant, that might be a good one to toss or recycle as well. To help you get an idea of the types of documents that you might want to weed through, in your workbook there's a spot for you to fill in the different types of documents that you have, along with some suggested retention guidelines that you can fill out for your own specific personal or business situation. Again, these are only guidelines. You must consult with your tax preparer, CPA, or accountant to get the guidelines that are specific for your own personal situation. If you don't, you're going to be wondering, did I do the right thing? Did I get rid of the right documents, or should I have kept them? So it's better to not wonder and instead make a quick phone call or send an email to the person that's helping you with your finances and get the correct answer so that you'll know that you're doing the right thing. Now, as you're weeding through your documents and you're getting rid of certain things, make sure to dispose of your papers securely. That means either shred them on site for things that have maybe your account information or confidential client documents, or maybe they have even just your name and address. Certain people like to shred things that have their name and address on them. If that's the case for you, make sure to have a shredder on site, or bundle up all of the things that you're going to have shredded and take them to an off-site shredding facility. Most cities and towns have at least one of these facilities at this point. Often they can be found at your local garbage dump, where they're happy to shred things and then recycle them for you. Of course, there may be a fee associated with doing this, but plan ahead and know that you don't just want to toss your documents, especially those that contain sensitive information, into the recycle bin. It's just not secure anymore to do that. For those things that don't require secure disposal, make sure to either recycle them yourself by putting them in your recycle bin or take them to your local recycling center for disposal. In addition to weeding through your physical belongings and your papers and other documents that might be around your desk or your office, it's a good idea to also prune the files that are on your computer, or computers if you have more than one. Computer files, even though they don't take up physical space, they can quickly eat up your hard drive or any other storage media that you're currently using. So it's really key to clear things off on your computer so that not only do you have space for the new things that you're going to create, but more space on your computer can help your computer actually run more efficiently and more quickly. So it's a good idea from time to time to weed through the files that are there and make sure, just like with your papers or your belongings, that you're keeping things that you want, need, or use. On your computer, there are actually several ways to do this that might be more expedient than doing it with paper or with physical things. The built-in search tools on most computers can help you look for files that are over a certain size, say 5 megabytes. You could look for all the files that are of a large size and then decide which ones you want to keep or which ones you want to get rid of. Oftentimes, we keep multiple copies or versions of documents on the computer. If you're only using the most current version and have no need for the older versions and have no need to archive them, it might be worth weeding through those and getting rid of those as well. Another thing that people do frequently is keep multiple copies of photos. If you're using your computer to store photos, you might want to take a look at those and see if any of those can be deleted. People frequently keep all of the photos that they've downloaded from their cameras or from the internet, even if the photos aren't particularly good or if they're unflattering. I say, why keep those at all? Only keep the photos that you like. There's no reason to keep ones that aren't good or that don't interest you. There are tools for both Macintosh and Windows that can help you look for duplicate files. Now, this is really handy because, as I mentioned, it's easy to keep multiple versions of things on your computer, and you might have exactly the same file in several different places. That's just wasted space. So download one of the tools that helps you find duplicates, and that can instantly save you many gigabytes, even potentially many, many more than that, of file storage space. I know when I recently did this on my computer, I saved, I think, 6 or 7 gigabytes worth of space. Not megabytes, gigabytes, because there had been multiple versions of backups, there were old files that I'd forgotten were there, and this helped me clear them off in a matter of moments. And these tools are listed in your workbook. Also, you might just want to think about if there's things on your computer that you've noticed that are there and are taking up space that you aren't using, maybe you want to archive those onto a DVD or other more permanent media for storage elsewhere. If you're not using something and it's simply taking up space, it may not be the type of thing that you want to live on your actual computer. You might just want to have it so that you can access it later. And if that's the case, look at moving it to an external storage media, like an external hard drive, or a CD or DVD or backup flash drive, for use later. Going through all of these steps will help you free up a lot of space on your computer, which, as I mentioned, can help it run more smoothly, more efficiently, and make it easier when we actually work on organizing your computer's files. Weeding through and editing your belongings in your office is one of the first steps to help you get more organized. It may not be the most fun part of getting organized, but it is absolutely essential because we don't want to waste your time spending time organizing things that you don't actually want, need, or use. So your next steps for pruning will be figuring out when you can start your master edit. Identify a few times in your schedule when you can sit down for even just 15 minutes to start working on a particular corner or section of your space. Identify the key areas that you want to spend time pruning or weeding through. Choose which areas will get you the most bang for your time buck in terms of weeding through your space. Identify your master containers, whether it's your overall office or a specific storage unit within your space, to help give you some guidelines for how much to hold on to. Choose which space in your office you're going to start, whether it's a bookshelf or a corner of your desk. Set some retention guidelines, particularly for your documents, that will help you make decisions as you go through your things. Determine what your disposal methodologies will be. For when you're done using something, are you going to recycle it, shred it, or pass it along to someone else who could potentially use it? And again, schedule time to work on this piece of the organizing process. If you don't, it's highly unlikely that you'll make progress. And again, since this is such an important piece of the organizing process, setting aside time to do it is really important. Be aware that pruning may take some time, especially if you have a large backlog of things that have been collecting clutter for years. You're not going to get through them in 5 or 10 minutes. Be patient with yourself and patient with the process, and you will get there.